Good morning. It's Easter, April 17th.
Lord, we ask for your blessing on our service today. We ask for your blessing on our the communion portion of the service.
Thank you.
Give us revelation. Give us revelation and have it be a real thing that happens, Lord. A real thing. A thing that you have in mind when you instructed us to eat your body, drink your blood. Lord, that we would, it would be real in the way that you intended that, Lord, by your Spirit. Do that good work. And otherwise, just that your Spirit would move, that we would just have an understanding of your truth would flow today by your Spirit. Amen. Amen.
My eyesight is real blurry today, and so I can kind of figure out who you are, but I'm not doing real good. And so that's not going to stop my mouth, I don't think, but we celebrate the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And in order to be resurrected, it had to be a man to be resurrected. God would not need to be resurrected. And so we know that Jesus was not only the Son of God, but he was also a creation. And the Bible tells us that. And this is one of the hard things for people to understand. That he's a man. And as it says up, I can't read it, but it says up in that sign we have, that the mediator between God and man was the man, Christ Jesus. And we have hundreds of scriptures that support that. And I'm trying to think of the book. It says that he thought it not robbery to be equal with God. And I'm not really sure. I'm going to give a speculation, which I don't like to give. But the devil also thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but he wasn't. And Jesus was in a better condition to be equal with God, but he chose not to be because he found himself in the likeness of men, it says. And so, Jesus made a distinction, and it said, being found in the likeness of men, he became obedient to the cross. And therefore was resurrected from the dead, which is what we are celebrating today. It's an awesome thing. It's a wonderful thing. I was watching something on TV yesterday, and I can't think of what this. The guy's name is, his last name is Steves. And he was going through a lot of the celebrations for Easter, and in some of the church circles, they had statues of Jesus and Mary and so forth. And it says that there were a lot of the people that were kissing the hand of Mary and trying to associate with her, because she had lost her only son. And what that is misquoted scripture. It's not even misquoted. it's ignored because the Bible says that Mary had four sons and daughters, and it doesn't say how many daughters she had, but besides Jesus. And but she was a virgin up to the point of Jesus. And so anyway, so a lot of the church, a lot of the churches look at Jesus as a God. And we don't. Because there's not any reason to. I mean, I've been in Christian circles for most of my life. And over 60 years ago, I began to see some of the power of God. I didn't create it. I didn't cause it. I just happened to be in a place to have it happen. And I thought, you know, the wars and the rumors of wars and the things that we see are because that men think they're gods, or they think they're way more intelligent than they really are. Mm-hmm. And one case is Putin over in Russia. And they treat him, I watched some of the things where he plays hockey with some of the guys, and they always make sure he wins. And I thought of Hitler, and I'll be real cautious to say this. I also thought of my dad at times. And my dad used to play cards. And if he didn't win, he'd throw the cards on the floor. And that's not really a good example for little guys, but that's what I saw. And you know, Hitler was convinced that what he believed, you know, the kind of a communistic, socialistic idea, was the right way. It didn't matter whether it lines up with God's way. It just had to line up with his way. And he created a Holocaust, not only to the Jews, but to a lot of other people, and no different really than what's going on right at this moment. But it's, and you know, and I was thinking about that. The people of Ukraine were not, they didn't just give up and quit. They fought a battle. And the Americans, when the country started, they never gave up and quit. They fought the battle till they won. And they did whatever they had to win. And I was thinking about it, and I thought, you know, Zelensky, or whatever the guy's name is, he graduated from one of the colleges in America. And I thought, you know, we have had a country of freedom and peace and goodness. We've done some stupid things, but, you know, but it's been a good country. And so much so that Biden has enticed millions of people that we don't even know from all over the world to come to this great and wonderful country. And as it's going, it's gonna destroy all of them. And So those are the thoughts that are in my mind. I associated with Zelensky, and I thought, you know what? Rather than be under that, I'd be willing to die.
Mm.
I don't want to live that way. There was a time, this is a number of years ago, when there was a slogan. I mean, this has been probably before just about everybody's time, but people were saying that we were afraid of a communist takeover, and they said we would rather be red than dead.
Mm-hmm.
Remember
that's
that?
Too old for me.
Yeah, not me.
Yeah,
rather dead than red.
Yeah.
What'd they say?
Red
dead than red.
Well, it went both ways. Oh. Well, some people said,
well,
hey.
Well, yeah, people were saying we'd rather be red than dead.
Oh.
And I'd rather be dead than red. You know what I mean? Of course, I can speak that way at my age, but... But I'm glad for America. I like it.
Mm.
So about it.
Yeah, me too.
You want to help? You want to do the wine and I don't know who do we think can do? We have a volunteer. Yes. It's a little salty, but you know what? It's okay. Yeah, Jasper's all.
In 1 Corinthians 11:23, Paul said, "For I have received of the Lord that which also I delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, Take and eat, this is my body, which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me." And so this is a symbol of the body of Christ. Some churches look at it as the actual body, but it's not. It represents it. And so we need to understand it, you know, we're not doing some thing that we need to be extra careful of. But, and yet we are. I thank God for the promises that he has given to us. And I have seen some miraculous things over the years, but I have never caused any of them to happen. And I never knew any of them were going to happen. I just saw it. And I am thankful for the promises of God, and thankful for that we can be saved, that we can be in this environment. And there are some countries that they couldn't be in this environment. And especially when we begin to realize that Jesus is a man and not a God-man. He's a man. It says he was a man like us. And that's what the Bible says. As a matter of fact, it says it has not yet appeared what we're going to be like. But when we see him, we're going to be like him. And I didn't quote it just exactly right, but I'm not reading exactly right either. So anyway, we can partake of the bread. We need a volunteer to pray for this part.
Well, I was reading a little bit here this morning in what Jesus said in the Gospels. And when he mentioned his blood, what stood out is he said, "This is the blood of the new covenant," which is a major distinction. Because when he died and shed his blood, completely changed the whole picture of atonement and forgiving of sins and everything. And the other thing I thought of is, you know, some of the church really doesn't want to come out of the Old Testament because they only celebrate Easter, Christmas, one day a year, whatever. And the amazing thing is that he's resurrected every day.
That's right.
You know? And with every day you can have forgiveness of sins. You don't have to wait for a certain day or a feast or whatever. Mm-hmm. What he did opened it up to us to do that for 70 times a day if we have to, you know? Which is just that's an amazing change from the Old Testament. So, and he also said, which kind of distinguishes that you're not actually drinking his blood. He says, "And I will not drink of this fruit of the vine until the day that I sit down with you." So, you know, he does make a distinction, I thought. I never saw that before. But we do it, and like he said, do it in remembrance of me. And you, and that's why it, and it says do it often. That's the difference about communion and say Easter or Christmas. Communion can be done every day of the week if you wanted to. That's what you thought you needed. And so it does also say that we should examine ourselves and see that we have not against anyone or whatever, and if we do, ask for forgiveness or whatever. But that's part of what really is supposed to be communion, which I try to think about. Not always successfully, but so keep that in mind as you partake of his blood, this reminder of what he did, that he shed his blood. Amen.
It says, for as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you do show the Lord's death until he comes.
You know, communion, I think, is a celebration of the togetherness, among other things. It's a celebration of the togetherness of the body of Christ. And I thank the Lord that there is that part of it, that we are all together in this symbol of eating his body, drinking his blood. I am thankful to be able to do that with my brothers and sisters.
That kind of is the meaning of communion, isn't it? Commune
so
together?
Mm-hmm.
I believe. Part of it, anyway. Yeah.
I was thinking the same exact thing as you told me. I'm thankful for my brothers and sisters. Sometimes communion with you guys. But, you know, I'm also thankful for my brothers and sisters that I don't know. Because we have brothers and sisters that we would never meet in the flesh, in this earth. We would just see them.
Yes.
We have brothers and sisters, all of us, so many. You know, that if you happen to meet us, you will talk like you were born together.
Mm-hmm.
And like, I love this person. I'm always with him. So, hey, I'm thankful. In the forgiveness and all that. You know, Jesus came to, he died for our sins, and he says, he came to die for our sins, but Jesus also says himself, he says, for this reason I came, to preach the gospel. So receiving the gospel, preaching the gospel, if you are basically putting yourself in the line of death, you know, because he came to die for our sins. Anyways, now, we are to forgive, he said, forgive 70 times 7, that's 490 times. We have to forgive each other. Now, Jesus says, if you that are evil are willing to do this good thing to the ones that do not, how much more will the Heavenly Father give of his Spirit or give of good things to those that ask? So we're comparing that we are this evil little man, and it's showing God is so much better. So if we are to forgive 490 times each other, how much more? how much more will the Heavenly Father forgive our sins?
Amen. That's right.
You know?
That's
because,
right.
So, I'm like Romans, in the book Paul says, should I sin abandonedly because of this issue? No, don't sin. Jesus says, I'm not here to forgive you, woman, adulterous woman. You know, I'm not wrong, but go and sin no more. So when we, if our sin condemns us, we are almost making Jesus of no need.
Yes, that's right.
Because Jesus came to save us from our sins. And again, it's not don't sin purposely. You keep sinning or take it lightly. Now we have to repent of our sins. Okay. First of all, we need to realize what we're sinning. Okay, and Scripture shows us when we do. So eventually, I believe through the Scripture that eventually, when you repent of your sins, eventually you will actually stop sinning. And I want to tell you why I think that. Because when you repent, what are you doing? You're acknowledging something from the Scripture given by God, and you're coming to God. You're getting closer to God. Okay, so if you need repentance, you take a step forward towards God. Father, forgive my sins. What did you just do? You came closer to God. When you come closer to God, God comes closer to you, says the Scripture. If God comes closer to you, eventually you will stop doing whatever it is that you want to stop doing. If you don't stop, don't be condemned, okay? Because we don't know nothing. When we are baptized, when we believe and are baptized, we are a spiritual being, okay? We are spiritual. So God sees, what God sees in us, He sees our spirit. He doesn't see our flesh. That's why Paul says, it's my spirit, no big deal. My flesh is garbage. My spirit, so good. And it's so hard to really comprehend that right there. It's like a get out of jail free card. You know, it just works. And you just don't know how it works. So, God knows your spirit. Okay? He doesn't, once you're born again of the spirit or whatever, He does not know of your flesh. So just, rejoice that when you sin, it's not you. It's not your spirit, which is going to live forever, not your flesh. And again, don't purposely keep sinning because of this, as Scripture says. But that is the purpose of Jesus, to save us from our sins. If we were not saved from our sins, I hate to tell you this, but you're not going to have eternal life in the new earth that God has for us. Which, by the way, Scripture says that Jesus is building a new mansion right now. So, anyways, that's my Easter.
Jesus, He died for our sins. He died for our sins. That was the thing that happened on Good Friday. And then He was resurrected, on the day that we're celebrating today. And so He had victory. He transcended the whole sin deal. The whole deal is something that He has had victory over by His resurrection there. So we're not in a sin kingdom. We're in a kingdom that transcends sin. It's, as you were saying, Pablo, we shuck it off. It's nothing. Now he raised from the dead. It was His body. It was not His spirit. I mean, well, the Spirit did too. But He showed them His hands and His feet and had invited them to feel them. So it was a body that got resurrected. But still, it is a His resurrection created a kingdom in which sin just does not have dominion. No dominion there.
That's good.
Yeah.
You know, the other, I haven't gone to other churches, but you can see in what other how other churches work. And even the Pharisees, they're hiding, they hide their sins. You know what I mean? And I know what, I'm not saying you should advertise your sins, I don't think, but they hide them, and that makes them a hypocrite. That makes them a hypocrite. Okay? See, but what's happening in reality, they are saying out loud, we don't know Jesus.
Yes, amen.
You know what I mean? Because if you knew Jesus, you wouldn't have to hide your sins. You know what I mean? It's shameful to not hide your sins. There's other churches I've seen the news, whatever. But that's a Jesus. He came to save us. You know, from our sins. And, don't pretend. Don't pretend that you're good. You know, because not even Jesus is good. So why are we pretending to be something that is impossible to achieve anyways? You know, we're not good.
No.
So,
the Bible, this is interesting. The Bible says, "Be holy as I am holy," mm-hmm. which does sounds mm-hmm. impossible.
Yeah.
And you will also be perfected.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I thought about it. When you're born again, and if you're sincere, what happens? Well, you're born from above.
Mm-hmm.
You become a new person in God,
mm-hmm.
which completely wipes your sin out. So at that point, you are holy as I am holy. And you are also perfect because at that point you should have no sin.
Yes.
Now, where the church, some of them fail, is they think then they can just go live and it's all taken care of. But that's not what the word says.
No.
So what I thought, you got to be holy a whole bunch of different times because you sin.
Mm-hmm.
And if you repent, then you're right back to where it's wiped out
mm-hmm.
before God. And so it's that's the amazing thing about what he did is it gives you the opportunity to do that every single day if you have to,
mm-hmm.
you know. And it's not once saved, always saved. It's because it says work out your own salvation and these other scriptures that say. So it's like, and I know where Pablo's coming from in that setting with Paul and stuff. It's really hard because it, and when John says what he says too in his books, it makes you look like you don't have to worry about sin.
Mm-hmm.
Well, in a certain sense, if you're really that born again spirit person,
mm-hmm.
you don't have to, but you can't like say misuse it
no.
that position you've
no.
been given,
no.
and just sin to be sinning,
mm-hmm.
but. If you're concerned every day about you may be sinning or you're not what you should be, that's where God wants you.
Mm-hmm.
That means you care.
Mm-hmm.
That means you don't really want to do it, like Paul says in 7 there, I do what I don't want to do, and I don't do what I should do. And, you know, I know that. Boy, I've learned to know that, you know, day to day. But in the end, there's no condemnation for those that are in Christ Jesus. So it's a funny place. There's a thin line there where, oh, you're just taking advantage of it if you think you're not. No. If you know them, that scenario that's going on, you know that you're basically, like your old man says, died when you were born again. And like Paul says, so don't keep dragging the old man around. Or maybe you have to, but don't pay attention to him. Pay attention to your spirit man, which wants to be more spirit man. And if it wants to be more spirit man, it's not going to want to sin. And if it does, it's going to repent. So, you know, and repent how many times a day? I've repented a lot of times in one day, you know. But, and sometimes maybe, I don't know, I might not even be sincere. I'm just doing it because I want to be forgiven. But that doesn't matter. It's like Pablo said, God he doesn't see all that. He sees the spirit that wants to grow.
Mm-hmm.
The spirit man wants to grow. That's what he's looking towards.
Mm-hmm.
That's who he wants to commune with.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so anyway.
Romans 6. What shall we say then? Shall we go on sinning so that grace may increase? By no means. We are those who have died to sin. How can we live in it any longer? Or don't you know that all of us were baptized unto Christ Jesus, were baptized unto his death? We are therefore buried with him through baptism into death, in order that Jesus, just as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, we too may live a new life. And it keeps on going through it. It's a beautiful chapter, just saying exactly what you've been saying.
Yeah.
But in the end it says, for sin shall no longer be your master, because you are not under the law, but under grace.
Mm-hmm.
But the whole chapter just keeps repeating. It's just a beautiful chapter.
Mm-hmm. You know, again, there's no shame. There's no shame in sinning. There's no shame in imperfection. You know what I mean?
We're under grace.
Mm-hmm. Now, we do also, you know, we have to try not to sin. You know, and Jesus said, you know, I am not here to condemn you, go and sin no more. No, but like me, you give sin. Right? I don't take advantage of it.
I'd like to say something on behalf of sin. I'm not encouraging sin, but I tell you, times that I have sinned, done a real good job of sinning, I ended up knowing his grace, knowing how good he was, and knowing his forgiveness in a way that I just would not have known if I had been behaving the way I should have been behaving, you know? I know the glory of his grace, his forgiveness, his, you know, his nature, because of my own shortcomings, you know, my own sins. You know. Again, as Barb quoted, where Paul says, oh, don't sin so that your grace will abound. I'm not advising that. Somehow or other, sin takes care of itself, and you end up, you know. I know his grace. I know his goodness on account of my sin.
The scripture shows us our flaws, and when it shows us where we sin. If you don't have the scriptures in you, you don't know you're sinning and you die with that. You don't repent. See, we are aware that we sin. That's a blessing. It is. Mm-hmm. We are aware that you sin. But thinking you don't is not a good place to be. The book of John says, if you say you are not sinning, you're a liar. The Republican and the other guy that went to pray for the church, what is Republican and what? Republican.
And the Pharisee?
Okay.
Yep.
The Pharisee is like, I'm so good. The other guy is like, I'm so bad. You know what I mean? And so God, he's justified. And there's another scripture that says, in long story short, it says, the kingdom of heaven rejoices when this guy that's so bad repented. So there's rejoicing when you sin a lot, you repent a lot, equals rejoice in the kingdom. And that doesn't make sense to the human brain. because in our mind, our brain does not work like that works. Yeah. Like the things of never, zero times. It doesn't make sense. But it doesn't make sense to me. I'm not saying that it makes sense to me. I'm going to explain it to you. It doesn't. But what I do, I just take this scripture and I believe it. And I don't care about nothing. It's just what it says, that's what it does, not my problem. Not my problem. You know, just take this. I don't need to understand it. I don't need to know how it works. I just need to know it works. And it's true.
Well, one aspect of Easter that we haven't talked about this morning is the fact that Jesus took on all the sins of all of us for the world, and he defeated death. And it gives us great faith to know that we can have life everlasting with God because of that.
Lord, yes.
It's, you know, the promise is that you will have life everlasting, and you go, well, how is it possible? I'm a sinner, you know. Jesus took on everyone's sin, and he still is able to defeat death, which should give everybody a lot of faith and confidence that my few sins, that's a hypothetical comparison to the world, not too much for God. Eternal life through his sins, through the shedding of his blood, defeats even death, which totally crushes the natural man thinking about we all live and we're all going to die and that's it. No. Jesus died so that we will live forever.
Mm-hmm.
And regardless of the life that you live, God still has victory. You still have victory. So, taking on to don't be condemned. It's not a past to sin, but don't be condemned with the sin that you have. And ask for forgiveness and repentance for, because God's bigger than all of us. And he proved it with his son.
I was watching a documentary in the last couple of weeks or whatever. One church, and when you want to be in a certain level, whatever, they would ask you, have you had premarital sex and will you bring it up? If you say yes, they will put you down and you couldn't be where you wanted. You were in jail time for a year, you couldn't go. It's holding them stuff anyways, but what the church does is like, it's like, well, if you're not good, you can't really come. But it should exist. The scriptures are the exact opposite.
Yes, that's right.
Exact opposite.
Mm-hmm.
Are you bad? Yes. Welcome. Yeah.
We have a plan for that.
Right.
There's a plan for that.
Yes. And that's why my personal people that I want to talk to are the scriptures in the tablets and the publicans or whatever. Because the church, you know, it's like, they don't want to hear. You know what I mean? The Pharisees, they don't want to hear that. But I welcome the, you know, the sinners. No, that I'm not a sinner. But, you know, I welcome all, you know, the ones that the church is denying. Like, you can't come to church. You're not good enough for church. That's what I'm going to talk to you. I'm telling you, you are being lied to. You are being lied to. I can't talk to them. Just tell them, read the Bible. And don't stop.
Knowing that all this sin has fallen short of the glory of God is great and free. Knowing that it's expected that I'm going to be a sinner, and that's why I have forgiveness. Like, that's a good place. And the exalting yourself above the knowledge of God would be trying to say, I need to perfect me, and I'm not good enough because I need to make myself better so that I can go to church and I can go to God. That is the opposite, and I feel like that is what we get kind of spiraled in, is our own control. But it is very freeing to know that, like, all of sin has fallen short of the glory, so I can't make myself better. He can make me better. He can perfect me. He can do those things. But I get that grace, and that's what's called.
Mm-hmm.
So any torture, any of those things, he just doesn't, you know.
And he's already done.
Yeah.
if it's good, and that's great, and I can't make myself perfect. Mm-hmm. I'm not ever going to be perfect. Unless he makes me perfect.
Oh, can you imagine a person stepping into a church for the first time in their spirit, in their heart, and they're wondering, you know, going, okay, I think I'm going to come to church. And then find out when, you know, if people say, okay, if you've done this, then you can't be in the choir. If you've done this, you can't partake of it, you know. And all of a sudden, well, I'd leave.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Well, but what have I gained? Absolutely nothing. What has Satan gained? Thumbs up. And so we have to be real cautious about, it's not our job to judge people. Like you said, you know, they walk into a church, I'm a sinner, well, welcome, you know, because that's the bottom line. If you put man's label, and if you let men get in the way, and that's what happens every single Sunday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, every day of the week, man gets in the way going, oh, you're just not quite up to our, you know, we have standards. Jesus, I never heard him say that. He walked all around going, wait, I have standards. You guys didn't meet it. No. Welcome, everyone. And we, as Christians, have to be very cautious. I would never tell anyone. I'm going, hello, I'm a sinner. It's not my job, and it's not my right, and it's certainly not what God wants of me to tell you that you're not good enough. Because chances are I'm worse than you. And we have to remember to be uplifting in our sense that we're going to, you know, lift somebody up rather than kick them down. I mean, hey, here's the Bible. Read it. It's not my job to, you know, interpret. And unfortunately, that's what most churches, it's today's interpretation, like that song that Keith likes, what's the song? The Second Opinion. Because that's what people get up and they say, okay, I just read this, but I'm going to tell you what I think it means. And it's like, you're going, I'm not sure there was anything that you just said that was in there. Because everybody wants their opinion so they can help everybody reach their goal. When all that God wants us to do is plant that little baby seed, walk away, love the person, pray for them.
The devil almost has victory either way. Somebody goes into church looking for Jesus and finds condemnation and then leaves. If they stay where they try and perfect themselves and try to do all of those things, or if they do that, either way, they're not getting free grace and mercy. So it's like a marketing scheme.
I just think about the people asking those questions. With, you know, there's, I don't know what you mentioned, but we watched the thing about the takedown of Hillsong. Hillsong is all up and rabble, the upper people or whatever. And they had a three little part thing, and I watched barely no TV, and Chabo was like, oh, this thing. Well, I love the Hillsong songs. And I still love all the chapel songs. I don't know where those people are today. I don't know what they were doing in private back then. But it's how this song ministers to me, you know. And I've sang songs in my life and doing something else back over there. So I can't judge the singers, you know what I mean? But they were talking about the takedown of Hillsong, or, you know, the teardown or whatever. And some of the people that had gone to the college were saying that they went in there and they were asked to go to the college if they had premarital sex and if they had partied or drink and whatever. And, you know, just looking at that, I'm thinking, and then now come to find out that some of those top people, they got kicked out because they had these things. And I'm thinking, who is in the position, you know, when Jesus says, you who has the first, or, you know, or has no sin, cast the first stone. I'm thinking, you know, who could actually be in that position to ask that question? I wouldn't want to be the one asking those. Even though maybe none of those things apply to me today, I still would not want to be the one asking those questions. Mm-hmm. You know, because there's outward, very evident sins that people have that other people can judge. And then there's sins of the heart. And there's sins in the mind, you know. And it's easy to say one thing but feel a different way. And so I wouldn't want to be the one that was the official to ask those questions.
No.
Yeah, it sounds to me, those questions that you're just being asked, it sounds like, what are you, the new Pharisees? I mean, it's a group of people who are trying to make themselves above another group of people in a religious sense. And, oh, and here's the criteria. And, oh, by the way, we're setting the criteria, which is why Jesus was so hard on the Pharisees.
Well, and they were asking the question to enter the college of, if you come to, you know, have you had premarital sex in the last year or whatever? Because they put them in children's ministry. They give them all these volunteer jobs. And so if you have, you don't qualify for the children's something. And you don't qualify whatever. And me, it's like, that's what you're going there for, is to learn and grow. For, you know what I mean? You don't, a master piano player doesn't take piano lessons. They go to take the piano lessons. And so for me, it's like, you want to come here and you did these things and you don't want to do these things anymore? Bless it. Go hand out flowers and minister to the elderly.
Yeah.
I mean, and some of, I mean, usually people that have a flowered past or a crippled past or a whatever, those are the ones that make the best counselor.
Checkered.
I know, but I'm into flowers, Corky, not checkers.
Well, I mean, and who knows, I like the song Amazing Grace.
Mm-hmm.
I think everybody knows that it's a wonderful song. What about that person?
Mm-hmm.
What did he do? What's his life like?
Right.
I mean, are we going to all of a sudden go, oh, no, we can't listen to that song anymore? No, because at the time the song was written, it was ministering, just like these songs. Some of them, I'm sure, are very ministering. I don't know the whole thing behind Hillsong or anything like that. Just because, you can minister to someone through a song, through something you say, doesn't make you perfect. But it doesn't take away from the song that ministered to you.
I think that makes some difference, that it has a church, and churches are in general, most people think you have to make yourself perfect to God. That's probably the thought process of, you've done this in the last year, make yourself perfect in the next year, and then you're good enough, because that's what I did. So now you do what I did, and I perfect my sin, and I'll perfect it through you. But the Bible says the way you judge, you're going to be judged. The way you accuse or excuse, you're going to be accused or excused. So in that, welcome, come, join us. Join our party. We all love.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Jump on the research boat now and make yourself better over the next year, and then you'll be good enough to do.
Again,
yeah.
I'll say, it just sounds great. Old Testament, like the Jews, you got to cleanse yourself before you go into the synagogue, and you have to do this before you're able to do this, and it's just, you know.
And really exalts himself above the
Jesus. Jesus did away with all of that.
Mm-hmm.
Especially today, let's talk about how the new covenant and the blood, perfected blood, perfected blood was shed upon us.
I grew up Presbyterian. I'm sure I might have shared this story already, and I didn't know anything about anything. And, you know, you would go there, and I would do Sunday school, and that would be arts and crafts. You know, I mean, it wasn't anything, no meat and potatoes as far as the Bible goes. And you'd sing the songs and stuff like that. And my thought growing up was every Easter I had a chance to be forgiven of all my sins. So I'd go in every Easter going, okay, I'm all forgiven. So now if I can make it, I'm going to be fine. And I didn't walk out of church without sinning. And I'm going, oh, great. Now I have to wait a whole nother year. That was my thought, because people don't really teach about Bible. It's like, okay, this is your one chance. Easter, my only chance. And I'm going, how misleading was that? Because everybody had their own curriculum to follow. And that's a pretty harsh thing to put on a kid. But they didn't really do it. I kind of did it to myself, because there was nobody there. They weren't talking Bible. They weren't sharing the Bible. They weren't, I don't even think I had a Bible. So it's interesting your the concepts of how we interpret them.
You know, you were talking about songs, mm-hmm. and how they relate to you, and I was just thinking, which one of us is perfect enough to be perfect, and for God to anoint a perfection? He's got to anoint the sinners,
mm-hmm.
because we're all sinners.
That's all he's got.
And you get my point?
Yeah, the pool of perfect people is really sick.
Yeah, I mean, so what does God have to use us as sinners? So we have no right to judge others who are being anointed if they sin. Mm-hmm. If it's anointed by God and it ministers to our spirit, that's what he wants.
That's why dreams and visions and healings and all the gifts of the spirit are right there, but we sometimes put ourselves going, oh, you know, I sinned this week. Should I share this?
Yeah.
No. I mean, that's not how we live our life, because when God puts something in our hearts, that's we're meant to share. And it's wonderful. No matter what you have, don't ever sit on something. Share it.
Glenn has something to share.
Oh!
I'm going to put him on the spot. To
okay.
Share it, because it was a wonderful thing that happened.
I didn't want to interrupt the flow of the way things was one of the things and stuff. It was all great. But last Monday, this past week, Josh, I, my neighbor Don, we were doing lawn work. You know, Josh was running there.
It was very cute watching them on their little tractors.
Anyway, Josh was running the spring rake, you know, busting up the dead grass and stuff. And Don and I, we had the beggars on our lawnmowers bagging up the dead grass. And, you know, then we're doing my yard, then we're going to do Don yard, then jump over to Josh's. Well, we started with my yard. We got, I think Don's trailer is like 6x10. The side rail's about 2 feet high, and we kind of loaded that up one load, and we took it to recycling, and we had a tarp under it, and we were going to pull it out. And it was a little more than 2 of us did, but we got it. So we went back, and Don had parked his lawnmower in my yard, and then we parked the truck in his yard, and I went around to do the backside of Don's house. Josh, he went over to do his, break his yard up, and when I got to the bagger full, I went to the truck and the trailer, and Don's lawnmower was still sitting in my yard. Because I saw him go in the house, but I thought he had to go to the bathroom, and then I just went, and what I thought was he was over following Josh and raking up, sucking up Josh's grass. So I didn't see him, so when we got Josh, we went into the house, and Don was sitting at the kitchen table, and in an end run, he had a stroke. Now, Carol, his wife works during the day. If we hadn't been doing yard work, and Don had that stroke in the house, he'd probably been there for how long? Because he couldn't speak. Well, it didn't sound like English, you know, he's all slurred and stuff, and so I called the ambulance, and they asked me some questions, and I had Don do what they asked, and yep, so they came and got him, and took him in. He came home Thursday. He's doing good. No, he's not 100% yet, but it's going to take time. But leading up to all this, a few times in the past, I asked the Lord, and I don't know how many other people have done this, but I said, Lord, why am I still here? Why am I still here?
Yeah.
You know? And, you know, and sometimes God will give you an answer, and sometimes he'll put you in a position to be the answer, you know? And that's what he did that day. Put me in that position, showed me why I was still here, you know? Now, hadn't we been doing that, who knows where God would be today, you know?
Yeah.
But he did have a stroke, and they found out he had minor strokes in the past, and we all have them. I'm not going to, you know, we all get them. You know, small strokes and stuff like that, you know. But he's doing good. But God did answer my question. Why am I still here? Well, he presented a situation that showed me why I was still here. You know? So we're all here for a reason. Mm-hmm. I just don't know what it is sometimes. And of course, Don is the one that had the daughter that died with cancer, and we've been praying for Betsy and all. So it's kind of a double whammy for the family.
God answered prayer.
Yes, amen. Thank
one
you.
Way or another.
And he's still here, so we can still minister to him and hopefully get him saved.
And the Lord do the work in that family somehow.
Yeah.
You know, it's doing just little things that just gonna keep building up and adding up, and you know, like he does with everybody, you know. Okay, go ahead, Keith.
He's got a one-track mind. He's got his mind set on these scriptures.
And he's got to get
it. And he's like me,
and he can only hear part of what everybody, you know, so he's trying to stay in the flow. So I'm trying to help him stay in the flow.
The Lord had said unto Abram, well, here he is. This is Abram.
Oh, that's right. He needed to find these scriptures.
Mm-hmm. Hello, Abram.
Are you reading this one? Are you reading it? You were going to read that other one?
No, I just wanted to use the name.
I thought you were reading, and I will make of thee a great nation, and I will bless thee and make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing. And I will bless them that bless thee, and curse him that curseth thee. And in these shall all families of the earth be blessed.
Wow, Abram.
So he's growing very fast so he can fulfill that.
I think he believes it, though. It's in his eyes.
Just lift underneath. We didn't want to interrupt the flow, but he was to read those scriptures.
I wanted to make sure everybody got to know him. Or see him. Abram.
Grandpa, I love that.
We love you all.
Thank you, Grandpa.